Welcome to Red Ice Creations Radio. This is Henrik Palmgren, your host and editor of redicecreations.com. This is internet talk radio recorded from Sweden, and you can tune in whenever you want to. Before we get to today's show, just let me remind you to follow along in our news section, and don't forget to check out our forum. Also, heads up on our subscriber interview part 2 today with Ralph Ellis. If you tuned in last week to our show with Ralph, you'll enjoy our two-part subscriber interview with Ralph also. Check it out, there's much more information available at redicecreations.com under subscribe. Now, for this Thursday's program, we called up Mike Hagen of Radio Orbit, and he willingly shared with us his version of reality. And as Mike himself left the ground and took off, he forced us all into orbit. But inside the layers of attitude and this unexpected ingestion of fire into the mind of Mike, there lays an explosive and empowering message. Welcome. How's the show going? Good response on it? Growing all the time, I guess?
It's weird. Are we recording right now?
We are actually recording, but this is not on the record, so to speak.
Okay, no problem. Yeah. And in fact, fuck, I don't give a shit. Everything I say is on the record. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, sure.
But the radio show is great. I love it. It's sort of like my own radio vehicle, though.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It really has no... It sort of doesn't get really... I don't think it's ever going to get really big or anything like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, frankly, the stuff that I'm interested in talking about, I think, you know, it's just people either get it or they don't, and I'm not really interested in peddling a whole lot of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I'm not interested in selling a whole lot of things or anything like that. I sort of think that the answers are sort of here, and we have, you know, we can, it's great fun to share ideas and expose, you know, untruths and all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
But I mean, how many people are really getting into it? My own show?
Mm.
Very few, frankly.
Yeah.
The ones that do, good for them. And they, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't take that many, Henry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's my point, too. Yeah, I think, I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if I would want this in that sense at this time, this material going mainstream, because that's, you know, that. The thing about some of this info is that, you know, it's about, you know, battling the mainstream in that sense, and particularly the media itself. So, I mean, I don't see the solutions coming from that end at this point, at least, so.
Yeah, I mean, and you're in Europe, you know, I mean, you're coming from a completely different perspective.
Sure.
Than my American one, but we come to the same conclusion.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And it's basically that, you know, what's being peddled by the powers that be, regardless of whether it's Europe or America or China or whatever.
Mm.
I mean, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is.
It is.
And
yeah.
So the more and more people, I think, are starting to realize that. And the fact that you and me are able to talk about it.
Yeah.
I think is something that's really important for people to recognize, because there's a whole lot of, you know, there's a whole lot of capitalization on fear on all sides, from all different perspectives, you know what I mean?
Sure.
There are people that are doing good work. There are people that are doing good work, you know, that are exposing untruths and that are bringing things to light that have not been exposed to light for a long time and this sort of thing.
Mm.
But at the same time, those same people, you know, fall victim to it in a certain sort of way. You know?
Yeah.
And they empower it. In other words, the fact that you're able to lay them out, talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What's that tell you? No one's coming to my house, Henrik.
Yeah.
You know.
Hmm.
And I think that in and of itself is evidence of what's going on. I think, you know, I think the Alex Joneses of the world and Rents and these guys, they're doing good work, and I appreciate what they're, you know, they're courageous people.
Sure.
But they're sort of kicking a dog that's already dead, I think. I mean, everyone's worried about the new world order.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I look at 9-1-1, that whole business, you know, as that was the end of it, baby. That wasn't the beginning of anything.
Yeah,
that was the end.
The
and
culminating.
And everything,
yeah.
Everything we've seen since then has been sort of a senseless lashing out of an animal that's sort of on the way out. You know? I mean, the whole Iraq business and then yeah. Afghanistan, it's just, they're just swinging a club the last couple times. But
yeah.
If you notice, nothing big is happening. There aren't any more gigantic terrorist events in this country. There aren't any more big wars being unleashed. There's no nuclear event that everyone's been so nervous about.
Yeah, sure.
And the thing that I see, Henrik, is that, and I'm sorry if I just got going here, but...
no, it's good.
you know, if there's one thing we know about these people, is that if they can do something, they will.
Sure.
They don't fuck around. They don't wait around. There's no, you know, there's no big, you know, sophisticated unfolding of the way they do business. They just fucking do it, right? They don't care. They have hundreds of years of historical evidence of this. You know, they wipe out entire cultures that have been around for 10, 12,000 years, 15,000 years. They wipe them off the map as if it were a joke. And so to act like, you know, like there's something stopping them, if, in other words, to act like, and this is the point, there is something stopping them, obviously, right? Because they're not doing it. The idea that they're going to wait around, I mean, you know, I think we're waiting for something that's not going to happen. I think we're seeing less and less control, not more and more. I mean, you can pass all the laws you want, but the point is, what are you and me as individuals and everybody else able to do? Doesn't matter what the fucking piece of paper says. It matters what you and I actually do. What can we do? And we can lay them out all day.
Sure.
And, you know, so I don't know. So I appreciate the fact that that's happening, and I think that they're frightened to death, probably. You know? But I don't spend much more time there. I sort of, like, did it. You know, 9/11 was obviously an inside job. Nobody really knows what happened, I don't think.
Yeah, sure.
We know that we're being lied to. And people that, and if people don't get that, if they haven't figured that out, well, you know,
that's their problem.
You know, it's evolution. You know, it's an intelligence test.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, I really do. I think that you know, it's just an intelligence test. And the people that recognize things for what they are and just keep moving forward with their own life and their own agenda. You know, it's not like you and me don't have an agenda. I don't know. I do. You know, I want good things for my family and my friends and my circle.
Yeah, I was going to say that. My agenda is to, you know, spread interest in these areas and, you know, all the things we, you know, talk about here on this show and so forth.
We sort of got off the bat just sort of informally, and I want to thank you for doing Red Ice. And and for people who are listening, I've known Henrik for a number of years, and I actually was introduced to his website long before he was doing radio, and he's been doing great work there for a long time. And he's also a talented musician, and I appreciate your appreciation, Henrik, of the arts and creativity, because that's what I sort of think is happening. I think that in the midst of everybody being scared shitless about all this stuff, what we're forgetting to do is just do our art. We need to be doing art and pushing the creative pedal. Which is actually what you're doing, whether you realize it or not, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what all this stuff is.
Absolutely.
Internet,
yeah.
Radio across the world. You know what I mean? My God. It's beautiful art.
It is. Yeah, Mike. This is a very, you know, this is an excellent start. Let's go from here, because I was considering doing the whole you know, intro part and whatever and what have you and whatnot and then, you know, do this whole introduction. But let's keep going here, from here, and we are recording,
yeah,
and
please,
we are doing,
I mean,
so.
You can add stuff whenever I give you a chance.
That's good, but let's tie this back, because I do want to return to 9/11 and talk about that a little bit later, but to kind of get things into, you know, for people who aren't aware of you, of course, and your, you know, radio show, of course, you know, your name is Mike Hagan, you are behind Radio Orbit, and I myself mainly tune into your show through MikeHagan.com. But I want to talk a little bit more about you, Mike, before we get into some of these subjects here today. And tell us, you know, your background on all of this, and kind of why you started the show and when and so forth.
Well, you know, I'm sort of the regular guy story. I grew up in Chicago, the Chicago area in Illinois. A son, the only son in a family of five, my mom, dad, two sisters, sort of middle class, white bread America, you know. My dad was a regular working guy, a salesman, who I have, you know, grown over the years to have a tremendous amount of respect for, regardless of what, you know, his shortcomings may have been as a father. I recognize that now myself as a father, you know, that you do the best with what you got and what you've been taught and what's been shared with you. But anyway, so I grew up, and it was, you know, a Catholic situation. I grew up and went to Catholic schools and the altar boy business and all that, and was fully, fully indoctrinated to, you know, Western Christianity and the mythology that goes along with it, you know, and you know, capitalism and everything. And, you know, went to school and, you know, went to college, got a degree. I have a degree in, I have a bachelor's of science in mathematics, and I have a degree, you know, I have a secondary degree in the German language. I speak reasonably good German.
Yeah, you were over there for a while too, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I lived there for some people might consider a long time, back in 1989 and 1990. Really interesting time, as a matter of fact. You know, you, as you know, back then in Germany, outrageous things happening.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, God, it's a whole other story. But at any rate, I eventually, you know, I did the whole corporate thing. I'm a working guy now. I mean, my radio show, which is my passion and what I really love to do, because I get to talk to my heroes, frankly.
Yeah.
You know. People, men and women, who are doing outrageously courageous and great work, you know, and are trying their hardest, you know, to move forward the brotherhood and the sisterhood of humankind, I get to chat with them. And so to me, that's a big deal. And I don't, you know, I'm not interested in the money of it or anything like that. I just get to talk with them. It's like being, you know, it's the privilege to actually become friends with some of these people. So at any rate, I work in a factory, you know, to this day. I did the corporate thing for a while. I'm 42 years old, so I've been around. I've done all kinds of different shit. And, you know, I climbed the corporate ladder and sat in the boardrooms with all the jerks and realized that wasn't for me, you know.
Yeah.
And I know the agendas that are unfolding in these places. I mean, I realize that, you know, I'm not the Pollyanna-ish about, you know, what people, men in particular, and women, to a certain extent, are capable of. I just don't particularly subscribe to any overarching conspiracy theory, you know what I mean? But at any rate, I eventually decided that if I could find a comfortable job that wasn't a whole lot of stress, with good people that weren't interested in judging everybody, you know what I mean? And I could make a reasonable living, maybe not a whole, you know, maybe not as much as some people would, you know, or whatever, but it's it's safe, it's comfortable, secure, and the big thing is that they're good people who don't judge me, you know?
Sure.
And as long as I do my job, you know, I can do my thing. And so I use my factory job, basically, you know, to take care of my family, to pay the bills, because everybody has economic responsibilities in this culture that we live in.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But because I work for good people, and because I'm smart, you know, I'm in a situation where I can actually raise my family, try to be a decent father and a decent partner to, you know, the mother of my children, who's just the most remarkable woman on the planet, essentially, as far as I'm concerned, right? And I get to do my radio show, and I've had a whole lot of experience in between, you know, been all around, done different stuff that sort of gave me ideas
mm-hmm.
for who I want to talk to and why I want to talk to them, you know.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's basically what I'm doing. I mean, I really don't have much more of an agenda other than talking to the people who I love and who I think are doing great work.
Sure, sure. And I mean, it feels like you're following a red line, so to speak, of the type of guests that you invite to your show. And I mean, what?
That's an interesting choice of words, Henry.
Yeah.
Because it is a red line, and it's the reason I use that word, or that I recognize your use of it, is because of indigenous people, and I have Lakota blood in my ancestry.
Mm-hmm,
see,
mm-hmm.
And so I do walk a red line or a red road, or I try to at least,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that stuff goes across borders. You know, it doesn't matter what a piece of paper says or what a line that's drawn on a map somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's bigger than that, and it goes beyond that stuff. So,
sure. Yeah.
I wear my red even though I'm a white guy. You know, I wear my red if people are paying attention.
You know, and some of the big questions, I guess, or topics that you do cover. I mean, again, it feels like you're following that line along. And I mean, tell us about some of these. And or before we go there, tell us kind of how you, or when actually you first kind of opened up your eyes to these kinds of topics. Because I mean, that's an interesting process, I guess, the awakening,
well,
so to speak.
Everything begins as a child, you know.
Mm.
And my formative experiences, I had a good family and all that, you know, whatever that means. In other words, my parents were good to me. You know, they provided a place that was safe, and they didn't hurt me. You know, they loved me, essentially.
Mm.
Even though my dad had lots of issues of his own, you know, like so many men in our culture, you know, drank too much, was verbally abusive of women and a lot of stuff, you know, that we're all familiar with. But, you know, the reason that men do this is because of their models. You know, I mean, we're going on four or five generations now of, you know, very bad modeling. And so, you know, we have men who are confused and jerks and don't understand what it really means to be a man, you know? And we have women who are confused and don't understand what they actually need in a man, you know, or what it means to be a woman. So we've got a whole bunch of confusion. You know, whether it's being,
intentional
by design. And
yeah.
Certainly there is plenty of evidence that, you know, there are groups out there that love it when we're confused.
Sure. Indeed, yeah.
The fact is, they're confused too, you see.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone's confused. I mean, nobody really knows what's going on. I mean, I think that's the beauty sort of the whole thing. You know, it's that, you know, everybody wants to think that someone's in control. In other words, it gives us some sort of comfort, whether it's, you know, the Greys or the Communist Party or the Vatican or the Masons or the, you know, or whoever. It's
sure.
Like, we want to think that someone's, you know, that the neocons, someone's in charge. The truth of the matter is that no one's really wants to face that no one's in charge. No one's in control. We're just a bunch of silly monkeys, you know? And if anything's in control, it's the equations of dynamics and chaos. And then throw in the guy in mind, you know, the imagination of nature, and this sort of thing. And I mean, I think that my friend Dennis McKenna really nails it when he says the monkeys only think they're running the show. In other words, there's a tremendous amount of exertion for control, and there's a tremendous amount of, you know, groups and secret societies and all this shit. Everyone's got their own gang, right? There's
sure,
a bunch of
yeah.
gangs that are out trying to exert certain levels of control.
Yeah, absolutely.
But who's really being successful? I mean, I think to be a control freak in this day and age, all you're doing is bringing out a tremendous amount of aggravation onto yourself. control me.
Mm.
And if you can't control the little things, you can't control the big things. You know, the butterfly effect is real.
Mm.
Small, little, bitty perturbations, you know, in big, gigantic, dynamic systems can cause huge, unpredictable, improbable, and, you know, unexpected change. And this is what all these control freaks are frightened to death about.
Yeah, sure.
Change,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah.
Well, so as a mathematician, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a mathematician, I realize that, you know, chaos theory is a real thing, and that, you know, dynamics and this sort of thing, that they're real,
mm-hmm.
and that systems theory actually is real, and the way social systems work is really no different than a chemical system works in the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have, you know, let's talk about something for a minute, okay?
Sure.
About equilibrium. This is a scientific term, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's it mean? You know what it means.
Sure.
It means balance, essentially, right?
Yep.
Okay. Equality. Things are working well. You know, harmony is another word that's associated with this stuff, right? Well, equilibrium, when a system, and I'm talking in the chemical sense, but by analogy, all systems, right, including social systems, cultural systems, you know, galactic systems, whatever,
mm-hmm.
systems in general, they follow these rules. Well, when you have a system that's at equilibrium, it is very difficult to move it out of equilibrium. It takes a tremendous amount of effort, energy, in a particular vector,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard because it's strong,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have and if you look at the opposite, right? You look at the counterintuitive idea of disequilibrium, chaos, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you have let's use a laboratory in the chemistry setup as the example, but in chemistry, if you have a chaotic system, well, then anything goes. This is when the laws of chaos theory and dynamics really, you know, shine, and where the butterfly effect becomes something that nobody can ignore, is that in a chaotic situation, a very small amount of energy in any particular vector, it's unpredictable,
mm-hmm.
can bring about a brand new and unexpected equilibrium. And it doesn't mean it's going to be good, bad, or ugly. It just means that it can happen,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's the way I look at control. I think that anyone that talks about everyone having all this control, they don't. You know, I can still piss where I want. I can still talk my radio. I can still make love when I want. And you know what? They can listen in if they like. You know, I got better things to do than worry about them.
Mm,
all I know is
yeah.
they can't touch me,
sure.
obviously.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, because I'm here. And I'm doing my thing, and I'm unimpeded. In other words, my life, Henry, you know what I mean?
Mm.
As an individual, I do what I want.
Sure.
And trust me, I do some things and say some things that if all of this control was a real thing, well, I'd be in deep shit, my friend.
Hmm.
I should be in deep fucking shit. Right?
Mm.
But I ain't.
And that's...
So, you know, people can make of that whatever... You know, whatever they want to make of it,
mm-hmm.
I think it's the Occam's razor answer.
Hmm.
That's right, because these people are really just chicken shit for the most part,
mm-hmm.
and they've been depotentiated for the most part, and I think it's sort of on the way out, not on the way in.
Hmm.
So I'm sort of doing my own thing and trying to help people do their own thing and be creative and do art, and you know, grow things. You know,
mm-hmm.
I see the dead animal, you know, laying in the pasture, you know, turning into shit and mushrooms growing off of it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, this is my take.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we want. We want your take on this. excellent.
What else am I talking about? I mean, and, you know, and like I said, I mean, I don't know if 911 deserves too much more talk, but
mm-hmm.
to listen to Saul Lafley. I mean, this is a guy that I interviewed.
Yeah,
my friend.
Sure. Yeah, let's.
He was, you know, he was an architect.
Mm, yeah.
On the original design team. I mean, he lays it out plain and simple.
Sure.
There were charges that were built into the buildings. There was no news. This is no news fucking flash, Henrik. Anybody that was hanging around New York in the 60s knew this. That's the way they designed the buildings because, like Paul said, what brought down the World Trade Center towers, it was an act of extremism. But it was extremist capitalism that brought them down.
Hmm.
Right? Not extremist Islam or Christianity or Judaism or any of this shit.
Hmm.
It was extremist capitalism that brought them down.
Hmm.
Right? There are extremist capitalists.
Oh yes, yeah.
You know, we should bring that into the vernacular. You know, there are people that will do anything for money.
Sure.
They'll just do anything for money. And, you know, it's funny. You know, our friend Kent Stedman, who's so wonderful and who you and me sort of connected through.
Mm, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And he runs this great website, right? Cyberspaceorbit.com.
Indeed, yeah.
And is an absolute inspiration.
Mm.
You know, he's been around for a long, long time, longer than I have, shit, you know?
Mm.
He's 65 years old. He's talked to everybody. He knows everybody, Henry.
Mm.
He knows everybody, right? They call him on the phone. He lives in his little cave in Seattle. See what I'm saying? Nobody messes with him, right? And he knows everybody, including, you know, the spookiest of the spooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's hip to the game. It's just that the people that, you know, people out there in the public just decide if they want to capitulate or not.
Mm, yeah,
but,
sure.
You know, I mean, for the most part, you can do what you want. I really do believe that.
Yeah, indeed. And
9/11, you know, I mean, it was extremist capitalism that did it. You know, I'm sorry to lose my track a little bit, but Ken had said, you know, he's talked to so many people that say that, you know, these robber baron types, you know, they don't really even do it for control or power as much as they do it for fun.
Hmm.
This is what he said. He said they do it for fun.
Okay. Hmm.
That's how disconnected they are with the whole business, I think, you know?
Yeah, and doesn't the sense of you know, the lack from their part then of control come into the picture there, where, you know, I remember this, you know, really spaced out quote from actually the X-Files, but they were talking to, I think it was one of the Men in Black who talked that he was part, no, it wasn't one from the Men in Black, but anyway, he was part of a group who actually were involved in trying to figure out where, you know, the future, but the group, they come up to the point where their conclusion was the best way to predict the future is actually to make it happen or create it.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that our actions have some sort of, you know, result. I mean, we see it day to day. In other words, you eat a hamburger and you're not hungry anymore.
No meat.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So we know that there are these things, but we tend not to extend very far from ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to give away the power to, you know, outside of our own skin to other people, and somehow we allow the depotentiation of ourselves. And I think when you exert your own, you know, just your own will in a culture, you know, where you're not bound, I mean, literally, you know what I mean?
Mm.
You can sort of do your own thing, which doesn't mean it doesn't take a tremendous amount of courage and it's not hard and people don't have their own misery and, you know, and all this stuff. It's not easy. Nobody said that it was supposed to be easy, right?
No, exactly. Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, it's just as easy to be a jerk as it is to try to be a decent person
yeah,
and try to tell the truth about stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it hurts either way.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it hurts either way. Life is painful whether you tell the truth about everything or whether you don't. So I just think that, you know, after being a jerk much of my life, you know, and telling lies, you know, and seeing how the whole business worked, I worked for the Department of Defense, for God's sake.
Oh, really?
I had a security clearance when I was in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I was DOD, but I was DOD with, you know, as a civilian.
Okay.
So I saw all kinds of
Mm.
And you and me, we see it all the time.
Sure.
You know? So, it's there, and it's been there for a long, long time. You know, in different manifestations.
Mm.
But, and there are interesting things that are happening now. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there are. It's not the same old. I don't think.
No. Yeah. Exactly. I want to kind of tie this all together, I guess, because in a sense you were talking about, you know, the ability for people to break free and break out of all of this and actually following your own, you know, truth or whatever, your own line, the stuff that you want to do. And I mean, I know that on your show you speak a lot about, you, for example, you know, we keep returning there, 2012, and the idea of this, you know, something new actually coming in. Is this something that you tie together, these two?
Well, I think that, you know, the whole 2012 business, again, it's a double-edged sword because it's already being used, you know, for, you know, to peddle goods, essentially.
Mm.
But that's okay. I mean, I recognize capitalism is not all that bad. The problem is when you combine capitalism with materialism, those two things together become very problematic, you know? Capitalism with a spiritual outlook behind it can probably help a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, why not? I mean,
with materialism, the idea that it's just me, nobody else, there's no spirit involved, he who dies with the most fucking toys wins.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and screw everybody else, including the planet.
Sure.
This is the problem with capitalism combined with materialism. I have no problem with capitalists, but you know, be a capitalist with a heart.
Sure.
Be a capitalist with some spirit. Recognize that, you know, that you're not the only one, and there are other people that are trying to do their best in the middle of this. And there are, you know, everyone's worried about the fucking apocalypse. The apocalypse has already happened for 95% of this planet.
Elaborate on that for us.
Well, I mean, look around. Go to Bombay. You know?
Hmm.
I mean, go to Darfur, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the great majority of the people on this planet, and I'm not being, you know, I'm not over exaggerating when I say 95%, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People are in deep despair. It is Armageddon-ish.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm.
So anything that comes next, whatever it is, I mean, as this whole thing sort of comes to a close, which is the way I see 2012 as sort of a moniker to sort of hang our hat on, I don't think it's going to happen overnight in 2012.
Sure.
I think that, you know, I think that we're in the middle of it right now. I think that we're seeing all this change happening. And But the idea that it's all bad is this is the magic trick that's trying to be pulled, right?
Mm.
9/11 is a magic trick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Right, but like all magicians, there's a level of skill, and other magicians can call you out. See?
Yeah, sure.
And a guy like Kent Stedman, he's a wizard. That's why if you go to orbit, you'll see the whole track from day one of 9/11. I was on the phone with him.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the telephone. And you know what he said to me?
No.
The first word out of his fucking mouth? He said Reichstag.
Oh, really? Huh.
Reichstag. It was the first word out of his mouth.
Mm.
He knew, right?
Mm.
Of course he knew. He's seen it all before, and he pays attention to history. Right?
Yeah, sure.
So there's no news. The problem is, you know, the media and all this stuff. Yeah, people that call themselves journalists when they're not, they're clowns and they're lapdogs or whatever. But,
sure.
You know, whatever.
Mm.
You know, if people aren't smart enough to see it and recognize it, it's their own trouble.
Yeah.
You know? And I see the thing as coming undone, you know?
Mm.
The web, the World Wide Web is such a great metaphor, you know, for all this stuff because, you know, when you're full of shit, the web becomes too difficult to manage.
Hmm.
Right? The spider that lies all the time can't manage his own web, right?
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, but if you're a cool spider and you got your act together, no problem. The web is your friend, right? Well, this is what's going on. I mean, these guys are getting wrapped up in their own so deeply in their own deceit that they're becoming depotentiated.
Hmm.
And I mean this in a physical sense, Henrik. Mm-hmm. They have not been able to pull another 9/11, and don't think they wouldn't love to.
So that's interesting. So do you think that, you know, in a sense, the all the people actually watching these guys actually are working as an intelligence community in themselves, and that?
Well, yeah, and the fact that there are good people too.
Hmm.
There are good people too. There's just as many good people as there are bad people. I mean, right? I mean, plus or minus, you got to figure. So, you know, they're all, you know, whether they're screaming it to the rooftop or not might be another story, mm-hmm. right? But obviously someone is doing something.
Sure.
Because again, I always go back to the first primary set of data. The first primary set of data is me, my experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not what somebody tells me. Not what I read in a book or what somebody's screaming through a bullhorn. What's happening in my life?
Yeah, right? Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, in my life, I couldn't live in a more white bread town. I live in the middle of Missouri, one of the notches, you know, in the Bible Belt. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I talk it up, Henrik.
Mm-hmm.
I say my piece, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I invite people to my home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I invite everyone, the chief of police, you know, the mayor, whoever, come on out. If you're a friendly person and you want to have a nice dialogue and a conversation, you are welcome. You know?
That's good, yeah.
But if you come out and you want to be an asshole, well, I don't care what your laws say. I don't care what your piece of paper says. I will lay your fucking ass out. Right?
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, and like I say, I do my thing.
Mm.
And so this is what I think that people should be doing. As long as you don't harm others, you know, do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And say what you want to say, be creative, do your art, you know, get bent out of shape if you want, right? But do your thing. And don't get caught up in the idea that somebody else controls you. You know, you have to be smart, don't get me wrong. You still got to be smart.
Sure.
It doesn't mean you don't have to be smart. I mean, I'm smart. I put myself in a situation where I can do the things that I do, but that requires intelligence, you know?
Yeah.
And it also requires something else, Henry.
Mm.
It requires a recognition that the entire world is not human, you know? That there are other things going on here. There are other plants and other creatures, animals, that we share this planet with, right?
Yeah.
And they are sick and tired of being ignored. And that's the way it is. In other words, we look at other species as if they're just shit, right? And that we're the only ones that somehow, and we give ourselves all this credit, and look at the mess that we've made, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And we talk about our wonderful intelligence and all this stuff. So the first thing that human beings and individuals and cultures and societies need to do is get off their own goddamn high horse.
Mm-hmm.
And recognize what a bunch of dumbasses they really are, right?
Hmm.
And about how silly we've become, and about how stupid we've become, and about how much we've lost, and how much we've forgotten.
Hmm.
And, you know, you go back to the Earth is the first place to begin. This is where you all come from, all of us, you know?
Hmm.
Black, white, green, red, I don't give a shit, right? This is where we come from. And, you know, the answers are all there. I say this on my radio show all the time. We're not in a situation where we need to find the answers. We're in a situation where we need to face the answers.
Hmm, yeah. Hmm. That's a good take on it. A very interesting one, too. I mean,
you know alternative energy and all this shit. All this stuff's out there.
Sure, absolutely.
No, it's been out there for 100 years, Henry.
Yeah, sure.
It's just that we haven't done anything with it. We've allowed ourselves... And, you know, and maybe it's something we had to go through, you know, and we're coming out of it now.
Mm-hmm.
But we have allowed ourselves to be manipulated. We've bought into a massive pottage by a small group of, you know, primarily ill-willed, you know, people or whatever.
Sure.
And they're doing their best to hold on right now.
Who has given the...
You know, the cat's out of the sack.
Mm-hmm. And they have given the illusion of control. That's what you're
That's
saying.
All it is an illusion. The whole thing's a magic trick,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But... And again, once you're hip to the magic, and when you realize you can do your own magic, real magic, in other words, this is where these people have lost it.
Sure.
The magic of the spirit that they deny exists, you see?
Hmm.
But just because you deny that something exists does not make it so. And what is happening, and what we are a part of, and privileged to be a part of, is the reawakening of real magic. The spirit is coming back, the return of the word as truth. You know, for 5,000 years, the word has been bullshit. Lies.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, now, the word is returning.
Mm.
Just like they said it would in the Bible and all the other books, right?
Mm.
That have been manipulated and twisted and turned into crap. Well, you know what? The word didn't care. It kept working its way right along anyway. Right?
Yeah.
And now is the return. And I think that people who recognize this are actually seeing magic in their own lives. And I see it in my own life.
Fascinating.
You know?
Yeah.
And like I say, I just go off my own experience and what's happening to me.
So is this, is this a tricky part, kind of to discover that? Is this something we need to, you know, open our eyes to in regards to, you know, our, you know, connectedness with all things around us? How you know?
Human heart.
Hmm.
It's the one thing that nobody talks about. You know, everyone's talking about the brain and brain, all that shit.
Hmm.
You know that 65% of the cells that make up your not only your heart but the entire pericardial sac that it lives in are neurons. Neurons, no different than the ones blipping and blobbing between your ears.
And you know, right? Yeah, and you know what? I heard actually that the heart has more electrical activity.
Well, of course, this is why you can actually take an EKG from across the room. Wireless now. You can't do it with an EEG, right?
Mm.
In other words, the brain doesn't generate near the electromagnetic field of the heart.
Of course,
what do we know about magnetic fields, Henry? We know there's just, you know, a tremendous amount of energy, and I associate it with anywhere there's energy. I'm not arrogant. Anywhere there's energy, I see intelligence.
Yeah, life. Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the heart is a deep center of intelligence, and we have essentially, you know, for 500 years cut ourselves, and this is the modern scientific, Cartesian methodology where, if you can't bang on it with a hammer, it doesn't exist.
Yeah,
this
sure.
whole sort of
yeah.
idea, which is silliness. But,
yeah, sure.
But the bottom line is those ideas were a disconnect.
Mm.
And they basically said that the human, somehow the mind, right, which has never been, nobody's isolated the mind. Nobody's isolated human consciousness and said, the mind comes from the brain.
There it is, yeah, exactly.
Nobody knows where the fuck the mind comes from. It comes from wherever it wants to come from.
Sure.
My opinion is that it comes from the entire organism. In other words, again, it's a system.
Mm.
The brain isn't anything special. The brain without the heart is dead, right?
Mm.
The brain without the kidneys is dead. Everything without the rest of the system is done. So it's a systemic thing.
Sure.
The heart is a big part of the system, just like everything else.
Hmm.
And we should be listening to our hearts, just like we should be listening to our minds, our brains, and our guts, you know, what we eat and all this stuff.
Sure.
But I think, again, you know, all the great poets, all the great mystics, all the people that we're supposed to be listening to, you know, the Christs and the Buddhas and the Krishnas and all the wonderful people, you know, that have come before us, you know, the Black Elks, you know, and the Mother Teresa's and the Maria Sabina's, you know, all of these people, and the Terence McKenna's, you know, they all told us, everything is inside. The answers to your issues are there.
Mm.
Stop trying to go out and find everybody else's fucking problem, right? Go in, figure out your own, work it out amongst, you know, in your own life, and then move outward. We got all these people trying to solve everybody else's problems, and have you looked at their own life?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder we're in a situation of absolute chaos. What we need is people to take care of their own lives first, right? Make their own circle sane and healthy and happy and take care of their children, and, you know, this is what I mean.
Sure.
And then move outward. You know, it's all about circles.
Mm.
It's all about orbits. My radio show is Radio Orbit, right?
Mm.
That's the reason, because nature works in circles.
Sure.
And the first circle is you. You get your own circle fucking straight. Right?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Before you start to expand your circle. And then you do so. And you be careful who you let in your circle. You know what I mean? And you be smart. And you be all those things that we've talked about. But then you do that, and you can have a good life, and we can make a better, you know, a better world for at least ourselves.
Sure.
You know? I mean, if not everybody else. But, I mean, you have to make a good life for yourself first.
And then, of course, there is the, you know, if
we... solving the world's problems if you can't even breathe and you don't have a blanket?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, you got somebody pissing on you in the street. You know, the level of human misery that we as human beings put up with our fellow men being in is sickening. And this is what people should be upset about, what people should be blowing bullhorns about. Not the fact, you know, not the fact that, you know, that armies, as always, and scumbags, as always, have been pulling their tricks. That's nothing new.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Big deal.
That's a good...
Anyway.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and then,
and
of course...
And it's Easter. You know, you got me on a day, Henry.
Ishtar. Yeah, happy Easter. I mean, no, it's a great
Easter.
Time. Yeah.
And these people are dropping bombs and talking all their Christian bullshit.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Come on. Call people out for what they are. And the same thing with Muslims or Jews or blacks or whites or... I don't give a fuck. You know? People are good people or they're not.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You take care of children or you don't. You respect women or you don't. You know? There's no big discussion about it. You know? There shouldn't be any big debate about it. It's just the way it is, and people know it. And they try to cover it up with a whole bunch of makeup and crap to keep people from thinking about it. You know, and to do something else. But the fact of the matter is, you know, whether you admit it or not, the psyche knows it. You know, the psychology of the human mind and the, you know, the oversoul, the archetypes of our species, it knows.
Yeah.
And this is what's kicking in right now. It realizes that the species has gone as far as it can go, you know, without being a tremendous danger to itself and the others around it, the other species on this planet. And so, you know, the governor is kicking in. You know, it's like a thermostat. And it doesn't matter what George Bush does or any of these other guys.
Sure.
They are not in control. They think they are. That's the whole joke of the matter. Right? And they're being shown as not in control. Right? Hey, guys, you're not in control, right? Watch me. Watch what I'm going to do right now. Henrique, you know what I'm going to do? I'm in the middle of Columbia, Missouri. Okay, this is a historic event. We're talking on World Wide Web Radio, right?
Yeah.
And the FCC, which waves a big flag in this country, you know what the FCC is?
No, who are they?
In this country, right, there's a thing that's called the Federal Communications Commission.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And basically what they want to do is put a condom over a microphone.
Okay.
Right? And what I'm telling them is that you can't spread disease with profanity, right?
Yeah.
And you can't spread disease with intellect and with intelligence. Right, and like I say, we're on the radio here. I'm talking to my friend Henrique. We've been talking as friends all day, basically. Right,
this is
you know, we're not being very formal about our whole business here. And you know what I'm going to do, Henrique?
No,
I got my favorite pipe, my chinupa, that I call it. I got some lovely green illegal. You know, they try to make a plant illegal. That's just silliness.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you make a plant illegal?
How do they do
You're
that?
You're fucking illegal, buddy. Right? What do you think of that? Anyway, I like my plants, all right? And I'll grow whatever the hell I want to grow.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I'm going to, right here in Missouri, I'm going to fill my pipe, and I'm going to say, here's to you, my friend Henrique, for doing your thing and for allowing me to share my... You hear that?
There we go. Yeah,
right,
sure.
Here in mid-Missouri, okay?
Sure.
Screw them if they don't like it. Right? In other words, I'm trying to make a point.
Yeah, sure.
Right? How much do I have to do to show people that there really is no control? I mean, what do you have to do? People just have to realize it, Henry.
Yeah.
Right? And so I do my thing here. in the radio station.
Sure.
You know, I'm the vice president on the board of directors here. You know that?
Hmm.
You know what? I write letters to the paper here in town.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
You know what?
Yeah.
They ignore me. They don't even respond.
Let's talk
but
about
that's
that.
Okay. Yeah. See, it's okay because it's fine. I don't care if they respond. In other words, I'm putting it in their face, you see?
Sure.
In other words, the point is I still do my thing.
Mm. Yeah.
And I talk shit about them. I tell people what a joke the journalists are.
Mm.
I talk about what a joke the papers are. But they're just a bunch of silly monkeys, right? That think they're all big shit. That don't know the truth if it kicked them in the ass.
Sure.
Right? They're too busy peddling bullshit and worried about their fancy degrees and all this stuff.
Sure.
Right? Well, that's okay. They can do that. But I'm not going to act like there's something that they aren't.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, obviously, you know, to sit around and wait for the, you know, whatever, mainstream media to pick up on something, as we said earlier, is you know, a waste of time. And for them to, you know, it is we who inherit them with the authority to tell us how things are or not. And I totally agree with, you know, totally phasing them out and do your thing and whatever. I mean, that's the...
And again, you have to recognize that they're dangerous. I realize this,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you have to be smart, Henrik. Right?
Mm.
You have to be smart. And there are a lot of people who aren't. And that's unfortunate for them.
Sure. I mean, you had...
I mean, and my heart, you know, and I empathize, all right? I realize what it's like to be in a difficult situation. But we do make our own worlds, right? We are responsible for our actions.
Sure.
We do lay in the bed that we make. And if you're in deep shit, well, you probably deserved it. Now you got to figure out how to get out. Right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the way it goes.
Right. And all these clowns that, you know, that are peddling their stuff, 9/11 and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
they're in deep trouble, Henry.
They are, yeah, indeed.
And they're going to need all their money.
You know?
You know what's going to happen? They're just going to end up getting... It's the web metaphor is perfect. They're just going to end up being, like, wound up in their own web, and they're just going to be flies that we just all walk right over. They don't even pay attention eventually.
Yeah.
Because we're going to realize, slow but sure, and hopefully this is what's moving towards this whole 2012 thing, we're all going to start to realize that we can do what we want.
That's very good. Yeah, that's very good.
You know?
Yeah.
And if what you want is something that's really nasty for somebody else, well, you're probably going to get yours, pal. Right?
Mm.
And if what you want is good for you, and for other people, and you're trying to do your best and trying to learn and trying to, you know, do your thing, trying to be a good person. You know, it's not that, you know, it sort of goes back to, you know, where it's Easter, right?
Mm.
It goes back to the Christian idea, the real ideas of Christ, right?
Sure.
It was, you know, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, you know, care for the sick. There's nothing in there about big fucking institutions or any of this other shit.
Mm.
It's about helping people. Take care of your fellow man, right?
Mm, yeah.
And so for people who want to do that, in the midst of a culture that makes it very difficult to do that, right?
Mm.
Those people, I think, will be all right eventually, and can be comforted in the idea. I think this. In other words, I think the days of, you know, the nice guy finishes last, I think that's about over.
Hmm.
I think the nice guy finishes first is about around the corner here, and it's about damn time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
It's about time, and it's about time we show all these assholes up for what they are.
Yeah,
and then watch them just cower away, you know, because they really are just chicken shit, and they're like 10-year-olds with shotguns, and you know, and luckily, like I said, something has happened. Something has happened. And again, we've got the whole spider metaphor going on today, and I like it because it's a Native American story that I'm very partial to, that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of nature, the lesson here is that you can have friends that are, you know, that are not necessarily human. You can have relationships with other species, right? And the spiders, you know,
mm-hmm.
they can spin a web, but they can also tie things up, muck up the machinery, as it were, you know?
Mm.
And that's what I think is going on. These guys can't pull the trigger if they want.
Hmm.
That's because, right. Henrique, yeah. They would.
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, guys like you and me are dangerous, man. If we keep doing what we're doing, they're not letting us do it. We're doing it, baby.
Yeah, sure, sure.
No one's letting me do anything. I'm doing it because I'm telling them, fuck off. Right?
Yeah, sure.
And this is the absolute death knell of these people. So don't think that they wouldn't pull the trigger if they could. They can't. I don't know why or how. You know, maybe it is God. Maybe it is Gaia. Call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Something supernatural is at work. Maybe the ghosts of our ancestors, you know, that we deny exist. Maybe they're actually helping us, you know. So, you know, frankly, that's what I think is happening. But that's a Native American bent on things, you know, and through my own experience of what I, you know, my own experiences of my life.
Sure, sure, yeah, absolutely.
But this is what I think is happening. I think that the spirit is back, simple as that. And spirit, you know, can trump the physical any day.
Yeah.
It just has to decide to. You just have to get enough spirit's interest. You know, the spirits out there that are floating around, dead people or whatever, right? They're not interested in you if you're not interested in them. Well, they care. They got better things to do. Just like the plants and the animals. If you don't pay any attention to the plants, you think they're going to pay any attention to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course not.
Yeah.
The laws of human behavior apply. You have to be nice.
Sure.
You have to want a relationship. You have to work at it. You know, we can have relationships with other things than just human beings. We can have relationships with other things than just living human beings. We can have relationships with dead human beings. We can have relationships with dead animals and living plants and the whole business. We just need to open our eyes and open the scope of our understanding a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But it's becoming apparent because the human species, obviously, 9/11 was sort of like the bell ringer. It was like, we're in deep trouble. And if this continues, you're all, you know, it's going to be over probably. Because people, the technology, you know, we mentioned a little bit earlier, Henrik, that, you know, it's not, it's sort of business as usual, but not. The monkeys don't realize what's actually happened because the technology is the big wild card here. And a long time ago, you could just run over the hill and bonk the guy on the head with your stick and, you know, and claim the water hole.
Sure, sure.
And, but now, in other words, you didn't have the ability to wipe out everything. Right? After, you know, 1945 or whatever, you know, not only did we actually develop the ability to destroy a whole lot of stuff, and I'm not arrogant enough to say that we'll destroy everything because we can't. And, you know, the world will survive regardless of what we eventually do.
I think so,
and
too.
And she'll roll on to her next, you know, metamorphosis, whatever that is.
Sure, yeah.
But I'd like to see us have, you know, I don't want to see us all die and, and you know, and see our species fade away. In other words, our ancestors, yours and mine, up there in the great Northlands, I mean, they went through a tremendous amount of difficulty to get us here.
Sure.
And we are not going to drop the ball, Henry. Right?
Yeah.
And as much as some people want to drop it, well, we're not going to drop it. And guys like you and me and the amazing people that both of us are privileged to, you know, share our time with and talk to.
Sure, yeah.
That's why we're not going to drop the ball.
Yeah.
In fact, we're holding tight.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, that, again, more and more people also in that sense, that's not necessarily, you know, the thing that will make this to, you know, survive. That's not what I'm saying, but hopefully, you know, the interests of all of this is actually going to increase also, because that's a bit scary, you know, aspect from my point of view, at least, is that the interest of people, you know, they're so, you know, obsessed in that sense with themselves and their own ideas, and as you say, they're just interested in relationships between humans. There's nothing, no connection with nature in that sense. And,
yeah,
and I mean,
I think that the most important thing for me that I try to share with people is not to try to find out what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. In other words, it's okay to investigate the stuff that interests you.
Yeah, indeed.
The reason that I got involved in all this stuff to begin with, Henry, I was an abused kid. I was a kid who was raped as an 11-year-old boy.
Oh, my. I'm sorry.
And not by anyone in my family, no?
Mm-hmm.
But they were unaware.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And there are a lot of people that just don't know what's going on out there. There's you know, there are people that are very good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know this. You've studied a lot and done a lot of great work and research into, pedophilia gangs and child pornography and all this business with children.
Yeah, right? Sure. Yeah.
Well, I lived it, dude.
Hmm.
All right.
Oh, my.
And so, I had to find out what was going on.
Mm, yeah, indeed.
And my God, talk about going down the rabbit hole, right? Well, then you realize that the whole thing really is just a complete and utter mind fuck, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff that's going on, but again, what came shining through for me eventually was that nobody's running this show, right?
Okay,
I mean,
yeah.
This is absolute mayhem, at the limits of what you can stand,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening on this planet is just everybody is basically doing whatever they can do to express their imagination, and sometimes that's really ugly.
Yeah, indeed.
But it's but the truth of the matter still comes true is that people are doing what they want. Nobody's really in control of it.
Mm.
And what we have to hope happens is that something does take control, something more powerful than the New World Order or any of this silliness.
Mm-hmm.
Something like the guy in mind, something with a little bit of wisdom and some. Some heart and some femininity to bring this masculine train wreck back into order.
Some balance, right? Some equilibrium.
Where we can actually manage our technology, because see, the technology that we've unleashed without some wisdom, and pretty damn soon, it will destroy itself, and a whole bunch of us with it.
Hmm.
So, and it's not anybody's design, I mean, it's just what's going to happen. People are going to start pushing buttons. And the fact of the matter is the proliferation of technology now. You don't need a fucking nuclear weapon. That's just what they use to scare everybody.
Mm, yeah.
That's the hard one to make.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
The easy ones are the ones you got to worry about. And this is, again, the big question to all the people that are saying the terrorists are around every corner and the New World Order is about ready to take... Well, it's not that hard to do. You can fly... I could charter a plane tomorrow. From Jefferson City Airport, I could drive right out onto the tarmac, walk onto the plane without going through any fucking security or anything like that, fly wherever the hell I want, into a building if I wanted to.
Mm.
How come no one's doing it?
Yeah. How come no one's doing it? Yeah, indeed. It feels like it is, as you said, it is more part of the, inner... psychological state of...
The answer, Henrik, is something is happening, right?
Mm.
Something is happening. And I don't have the answer for it, and nobody's got the answer for it, but it's a good thing, because we know, based on historical precedent, that the people that we're dealing with are ruthless, have no concern for you, me, or anybody else. They rape, destroy, murder... whatever, as a goof. They do it for fun, right?
Mm.
So if they're really being threatened, don't think they're not going to do it if they can.
Mm.
Somehow they can't. I don't know why. But this is, this is my prediction, at least, of what's happening. I think we're going to see them slowly fade away.
Okay,
we're going to
see,
hopefully, some solutions to some of the difficult problems that we face, But again, like I say, we have the solutions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of facing them and getting people, in positions of power that will recognize that.
So no nuking of Iran, no, enforcement.
Oh, God, no, this is all silliness, I think.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with the British and the Iranian thing last week was lovely, actually. It was basically both of them bowing out and saying, God, I don't want to fight. I mean, when you scrape away all the forget about the media. Forget about the story in the New York Post or whatever. They're trying to keep everyone all freaked out. But look at what actually happened.
Yeah,
a bunch of people were in a real hairy situation that everyone thought was going to go critical.
Mm.
And everyone just bowed their head, shook hands, said, oh, my God, we don't want this. Right? That's really what happened.
Mm.
And who knows why?
That's it.
But that's what happened.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's very interesting, take on it, because I remember both reading and, of course, a while back, a year ago now, having Karl-Johan Kallman on. He's the author of The Mayan Calendar, The Greatest Mystery Solved, I think it's
and
called.
And I appreciate his work, yeah.
Yeah, indeed, very much. And I mean, he actually, you know, elaborates a lot on the idea that wars actually aren't, you know, winnable in that sense anymore. People can't, you know, empires can't go in and win wars anymore. And he has kind of looked, I guess, at the Iraq war in that sense, you know, to validate
By any measure, it has been a disaster. Even for people who say that, you know, that it's been a success for, you know, the Halliburtons of the world or something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
No, it's been a disaster for them, too. Mm-hmm. It's a disaster for everybody.
Oh, really? For them, too?
Well, I mean, they may be, you know, bringing in the billions of dollars or whatever, but let me tell you, I mean, the people, right? In other words, the image, what people think of these people that run these companies, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
It is, I mean, they're undergoing damage that is irreparable.
Yeah.
And trust me, they don't want this. And I know a lot about advertising firms and PR and about how, you know, they hire all these people to, you know, to try to make them look. You know, the people that are doing PR for people like Halliburton and and these other cocksuckers, you know, ExxonMobil and all these guys. My God, the people that are doing PR for them are about ready to hang themselves.
Oh my God.
Right? Because they realize what a predicament they've put themselves in. Because see, they're, you know, they're slaves to the dollar too. Because these guys can hang all kinds of money in front of your face. So you got to make us look good. Here's another $1 billion.
Mm. And it's impossible, right?
You can't do it. How do you do it after a while, right?
Indeed.
So this is what's going on.
It's
actually hysterical. You know, on one level, it really is.
It's
funny,
of course.
To watch the whole thing come apart.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it's,
and again, I don't minimize the danger and the fact of what they have been doing.
Mm.
These are the most ruthless, evil people, and they've been in power for a long time. It's not just now.
Mm.
But this is my whole point of is what I think. You know, is that this whole thing is about over, and that's what's so encouraging to me.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at my guests, Henrik, you see, I don't spend a whole lot of time talking about what's wrong. I spend the time talking about people who have amazing life stories and great solutions to a lot of our issues. And I'm not looking to solve culture's problems. I'm going to solve my own.
Mm.
What can you do as an individual to make your life, your family, your space safe, healthy, and happy?
Hmm.
That's what we need to be doing. And then from there, it moves outward. Again, this idea of expanding circles.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But first your own.
Mm. I totally
agree.
It doesn't
require that much. It requires just, you know, us to let it down a little bit.
Mm.
You know, realize we don't have it all figured out. You know, realize we don't know shit, frankly. Say we're sorry for all the stuff that we've done.
Mm.
You know, not only to our friends and our family and our neighbors, but also to the other creatures that we share this planet with.
Mm.
We have got to come to terms with that, right?
Yeah.
And when we do that, it's rough and it'll be difficult. But when you get through it, then you get the payoff, I think. And for the people who aren't willing to do it, well, they are, you know, here it is.
Here it is, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that kind of a liberating, you know, aspect of yourself coming in contact with the fact that you, I mean, in a sense, you don't know what's going on. You know, you're trying to figure it out, and just being honest with the fact that there are, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, and we can't, you know, at this point at least, we don't know it all. But the main idea also is
the fact that we're all here still is a miracle. I mean, it really is. I mean, think about it. It's been 70 years, you know, since the advent of nuclear weapons. 60 years since they actually pulled the trigger on one. In anger, you know, with malice.
Yeah, on a test,
you know what I mean?
Too.
You know?
Yeah.
And so somehow, and not only that, I mean, it's chemical weapons, the biological stuff they've got. They got stuff that's out of this world. You know that.
Yeah, sure, indeed. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm, you know.
And again, so I recognize all the stuff that you recognize. We're on the same page. My question to you, though, and to everybody else is, well, what are they waiting for? Right?
Yeah.
They never wait before.
Hmm.
And in fact, people like me and you are making it more and more difficult for them to wait every day.
Yeah, right? I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah,
guys, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't buy it, Henry. I don't buy it. And, you know, it's just, it's a magician show. and they're praying to God that we all buy it.
Right? Did they buy the truck? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, that's also in regards to what you say about 9/11, and I kind of feel that that way in regards to that whole, you know, event, that ritual magic show, basically, that it's like a, you know, culminating, you know, like the climax of a huge event, and it feels like after that point, you know, things have kind of, as you say, kind of more dozed off than it actually have taken off, in a sense. I mean,
right. In other words, you know, for all the people that are worried about the takeover of the United States and the terrorists and all that, you know, again, the best time for that, Henrique, was 9/12. Right. In other words, there's no reason to wait. You literally sucker punched and took the air out of the biggest superpower in the world.
Mm.
You showed them that their banking industry, the place that they consider the most holy thing, in other words, in a materialist philosophy, which is what the United States is, right? It's primarily a materialist culture.
Mm.
You went right to the heart of that culture, took the symbol of all of it, capitalism, banking, you know, the me first, all that, and laid it to the fucking ground.
And
guess what? You know what? If you're going to do anything else, as if you needed to, in other words, people haven't realized what actually happened. It was a death blow.
Yeah.
People just haven't figured it out yet. Nothing else needs to happen.
Huh.
It's over. The whole thing is just now a matter of how it unfolds and how it comes apart. But the dangerous part of it is over. I really believe that. And again, I'm just basing it on my observations and my experience. It's been it's been 6 years.
Sure, yeah.
And I've heard every year, oh, look out for Ramadan, right? Oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, right? Look out for this, that, or the other thing. People are just wasting their time. Live your life. Get on with it. Get on with it.
And that's
do good stuff.
So you're saying that might be the
while
biggest...
While you're so worried about everybody else doing bad stuff, just do some good stuff and stop worrying about everything else.
Sure, sure. And that might be why, you know, that might be the big, you know, magic trick in that sense, to actually stop this, you know, the incoming spirit, I guess, that you're talking about, that you actually keep people in that fear mode all the time. And that's the only, you know, from their point of view, the only remedy that they got, I guess.
And that's absolutely true. And, you know, and guys like you and me who actually get to talk about it, we get to do two things, I think. And I think it's our responsibility. Number one, it is our responsibility to lay the motherfuckers out.
Yeah.
Right? Only to the point of what we know, Henry.
Sure.
There's a lot that we talk about that we don't know.
Yeah, that's the difficult part of all of this, of course. Sure.
These guys are just guessing. Right? But, you know, to the point of what you know, say what you think is happening. Always preface it with what you think, you know?
Sure,
this is what I think is happening based on my experience, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Based on what I've done, what I've seen, what I've read, etc. So we have the opportunity and the responsibility to do that, to be honest with people and say, this is what I think is happening.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's our responsibility, I think, to recognize that none of us really know what's going on.
Yeah, I subscribe to that, definitely, yeah.
And if you find someone that tells you they got it all figured out, run for the door.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
They're peddling a con.
Yeah, it's like Jordan Maxwell. He's just, you know, always, you know, trust the people who are actually looking for the truth, not those who have said they have found it. So, I mean...
That's it, dude.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Excellent, Mike. I mean, this
anyway,
is...
Look, man,
yeah.
I know this probably wasn't exactly what you were expecting, but...
This has been awesome, Mike.
I mean, my heart, and I'm glad we had a chance to talk. I kind of got a boogie. I do have the family and all that.
Sure,
I have two
sure.
Wonderful
I mean,
boys, you know.
Absolutely.
And who that's the reason I'm doing this.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
My
sure.
sons.
Yeah.
And because, you know, you tell your children, we're supposed to raise our children to be good people and to not lie and all this stuff. Yet we raise them in a culture that's full of liars.
Yep, indeed.
Right? So I'm not about that. I'm telling my truth. My truth.
Yeah.
You know, to my children. And I'm going to teach them to teach their own children the same thing, hopefully, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, may the best story win. Right? Because that's what's going going on. What we're going to do is build a new mythology. The old myths are dying. And it's all about stories. You know, that's what all this stuff is. It's about stories. The Christian myth that we're talking about today on Easter, it's a story.
It is.
It's a beautiful story, and it can be used to enliven and enlighten your heart and your mind, or it can be used to put shackles on it.
Sure, exactly. Right?
But it's a story. So let's tell good stories, and may the best story win.
Yeah.
And the stories of, you know, of death and destruction and manipulation and male dominance hierarchies and all this patriarchal crap, it's done. Right? And you know what? Like I say to everyone, you got a problem with it? Come on over to my fucking house. You're welcome.
And we'll talk. Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
This has been awesome.
I love you, Henry.
Yeah.
You're doing great work. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Mike, before we finish off here, tell people, you know, about your website, the correct address and you know, when you're on.
I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. It's Mike, M-I-K-E-H-H-E-A-N, Hagen, MikeHagen.com. And, you know, like it or leave it, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's awesome,
and,
Mike.
I appreciate it. If you check it out, and if you do like it, let me know. If you think it sucks, let me know that.
Awesome. Right? Mike, let's stay in contact and do this again sometime, okay?
We will, for sure.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that we got it going.
Absolutely. Take good care, Mike, and thank you so much for coming on. Radio.
Cheers, Henry.